Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer, can we? Father of heaven, we come to thee in the wonderful name of Jesus, asking you to bless us and asking you to lead us and asking you to guide us, realizing that we need your help, Lord. We need your blessings. We need your kindness. We ask you to lead us tonight. Bless the people tonight. Forgive the sins, Lord God, of all the people of the world. Heal and save, deliver. Oh God, and forgive in Jesus' wonderful name. Well, today brings the end to another week. Reminds me of what I was thinking about the closing out of the fiscal year that is, of the nation and the condition of it. Every day that we close out a day, it can be a great time of rejoicing where we paid our debt, or there can be a deficit. Life is nothing more than a liability and an asset when you judge it. You either are going on and paying your dues to society or to God and mankind, or you're coming up short. And of course, the nation is coming up short bad. Real bad, as a matter of fact. I think the deficit closed out of September the 30th. For the fiscal year, the annual problem was $195 billion. I think they predict by 84 it's going to jump another billion. Within a few years, $240 billion. And I think this year they're figuring maybe about $800 billion or $840 billion or better for the president. So far as the need, maybe the income about $600 billion or better. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of problem. When you start differentiating and figuring between an income of something over $600 billion, an expenditure of something like, well, better than $800 billion, then that really shows the problem. You'd think anybody having $600 billion coming in that they'd be able to take care of their problems, wouldn't you? $600 billion, the forefathers started this nation with a little bit of money, and now they can't even run it with billions of dollars. Something must be wrong somewhere. The nation got off to a good start. They come in with their tens of thousands of dollars, and they started it. And now they can't even run it with billions of dollars. They're still going in the hole year after year. And I mean they're going in the hole within a few years, billions of dollars. There must be something wrong. Foolish spending and not evaluating properly on their supposed projects. Imbalances of trade. A few other things, and the nation goes down. They decide the only way to take care of it is to make me pay more taxes and you pay more taxes. They figure we'll meet the budget. As a consequence of all of their efforts, they still don't meet the budget. They just increase this expenditure, and you and I are more heavily laden than ever. more population in the nation than ever, more income than ever, but yet they're spending more money than ever to the extent they can't ever catch up. And though they try to balance the budget, yet you and I become more enslaved and more enslaved to the extent that they kill us at the price of trying to balance the budget. And they starve the people to death trying to balance the budget while they're still spending and spending and spending. And nobody can give an answer. Nobody knows what to do. They're willing for me, you, or anybody else to tell them what to do. They didn't come to the place to where they solicit the ideas of the public to tell them what to do. But not even the public knows what to do. But you know, I know what to do. And I feel there's a few people in the world that knows what to do. You say, well, Brother Pike, what would you do? Well, I tell you what I would do. I'd acknowledge the Lord in all of my ways and let Him direct my path. I'd seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and let Him straighten the whole situation out. I'd take what was coming in and I'd consider the widows, the orphans, and the needy and quit shooting at the stars. And to put that secondary, if we was going to have a space race and stop trusting the arm of flesh, quit going down to Egypt for my help and realize they that build the city labor in vain. If he don't build it, and they that keep the city, the watchman watches but in vain if God doesn't watch it. I'd humble myself and get the nation to humble myself or themselves that God might heal the land. And I'd take note to the fact that the Bible said righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I'd settle the problem and straighten the situation out. But on the other hand, though that be the answer, people are going to do what they want to do, try to figure it out the way they want to, and keep spending billions and keep enslaving people. Stay on a rampage, keep trying to keep up with the warfare by trying to keep as much as somebody else or get a little more than another nation. Live under a bondage and a stress of fear and problems and whatever. You know, and ever searching and ever learning and never finding the knowledge of truth. Christ is the answer. Like the song said, I refer to it so many times, if they would give him his place on the throne, he would make everything right. Each one supposing that he has the answer, they keep rejecting him, and they've turned the whole thing into a nightmare. It is a true fact that one of these days Jesus is going to take this thing over. He's going to set up the government his own way, and he's going to run it according to those things that I said. And there's going to be a great government, a great thing in the land. People are going to be happy. Everything is going to be all right. The economic system is going to be settled. And a great master will sit on his throne, and that will take care of everything. Let's talk about the love of God tonight. Let's read from chapter 15 in the book of St. Matthews. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees was offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the ground? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. You know, I've ministered on these things before, but I'd like to comment just a little bit on this tonight. I just felt to do it. First of all, if you'll notice, Jesus, he uses the terms, thou hypocrite, or ye hypocrite. Now, why did Jesus call them a hypocrite? Because of their traditions. It's very obvious that the 15th chapter is dealing with their traditions. Now, when we think of their traditions, we're willing to accept the fact that they were traditional people, and we're willing to condemn them on the strength that Jesus said that it wasn't right. But yet we as people, that is the Gentile people especially, we have all kind of traditions, ideas. We have all kind of religions. We've been told all kind of things. We go by our grandmother's teachings. We go by our grandfather's teachings. We go by our mother's teachings, our father's teachings. We go by our neighbor's teachings, whoever tells us, wherever we heard it, whatever revival we got it in, whatever denomination that we were brought up in. We have these backgrounds of indoctrinations and teachings, and it never occurs to us that those things are contrary to God and that God is highly displeased with those things. We have our own format, as we say, of ideology and our own program of what we're planning to do or what we think ought to be done. And we'll contest the thing right down to the hairline. Those convictions we will seek to protect. We'll just blast people. We'll fight with people. We'll have a contest with them over these convictions and these feelings. My, how wrong that is. But we'll do it. Nevertheless, we'll do it. We'll just fight to the end over these things because our mother believed that, our daddy believed that, somebody believed that. We heard that. We was taught that. We just know that that's right. And many times we don't have any scriptural foundation for it. We've never bothered to check it out. We've never searched it out. We don't know that it's right. But we just heard that and we believe that because a lot of people believe that and taught that. For instance, the counting of beads, as somebody esteems, I guess is one of the most foolish things I ever heard. The worshiping of paganistic pictures and whatever, the paganistic practices of all of those idolatrous things, but it's a tradition, it's a way of life. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, we are not like that. Yes, I think a lot of you are. You came out of that same movement. You came out of that same so-called faith. See, whereas I say again, there is no faith except that which is given to us of God, that cometh by the hearing of the word. If you've got a conviction, if it's not on the word of God, then I dispute it. The Bible said that Paul disputed daily the scriptures and the things that they were talking of. He went about doing that, and they accused him because he did it. But I highly dispute with you over those things, because the Bible said if any of you think that you are spiritual, the first thing that you should acknowledge is the word of God. The very first thing that you should acknowledge is God's word and God's way. And that is to accept the fact that there is no faith outside of the word of God. So then it is a sad situation to realize that you and I and hundreds and millions of people are filled with tradition. Literally overrunning with tradition. And though we might believe the word of God as an individual, yet it is a true fact that beyond that, we have so much mixture. We have so many additives. Until our doctrine, a lot of times, is like the Constitution of the United States. It is so infiltrated with ideas and additives until it has made the Constitution of God of none effect. So then God gave something to Moses, and it was a great law and a great order and something that could have been great. Something that could have saved the people if it was fulfilled to the jot and to the tittle. In that righteousness, there is a righteousness of the law. Not one that could save the people in the sense of the law, because man is, he cannot fulfill the law. But one that could save the people in the sense that Christ fulfilled it. And in that God required that, Christ fulfilled it. And that made the law effective in our life, for that is, it gave us the righteousness of the law. And the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us through Christ Jesus. Therefore, we escape the judgments of God by doing what's right. Not with the keeping of traditions of the elders. Not that. They didn't escape with the keeping of the tradition of the elders. But they escaped by the righteousness of the law, which was through Jesus Christ the Savior, by fulfilling the law, and the transgression of the law is sin. So then when Jesus said, "Thou hypocrite," he said, "You make void the things of God, but you keep your own traditions." And people of the world today, they make void the things of God, but they keep their own traditions. As I say, a lot of times they may not speak a word, but they still contest this thing in their spirit. But that's wrong. And there's one thing that we've got to recognize. I was talking to my wife today about it. Thank you, Frank. As long as we do this, it is impossible to please God. Now you might say, "Brother Pike, why do you say that it is impossible to please God?" Because the Bible said that he that cometh to God must have faith in God. Enoch was translated by faith. He must have faith in God if he is to please God. And the Bible said without faith it is utterly impossible for you to please God. You can't please God without faith. And in that there is no faith without the preaching of the word or the hearing of the word, there is no faith beyond the word or outside of the word, then that means that if you are basing your convictions upon the traditions of mankind, you are faithless in the sight of God. And Jesus used this term when he said, "O faithless generation." "Thou hypocrite," he said, "you are faithless because you've founded your believing and the principles of life upon the traditions and the ideas that you've got." He said, "Thou art a foolish man," said, "you have built upon the sands of the shifting sands of theology and idea, education and programs and feelings and different things that you esteem in this world. Oh, foolish man, he said, the man that built his house upon the sand, the Bible said, and the rains came, and the floods came, and the winds did blow, and the Bible said they beat vehemently upon that house. The Bible said, and that house fell to the ground, and great was the fall of that house, because they had founded upon the shifting sands of ideology. Jesus said, oh, thou foolish man. Then he turned to another and he said, as the wise man, build your house upon the rock, that the shifting sands of theology might not get it, that the contrary winds of ideology might not overthrow it. For in the day of temptation and in the time of evil, when you have problems and when things arise and things rise up against you, at that moment, in that hour, when these things come against you, you're not going to be able to prevail. Your feelings are not going to save you. Your convictions are not going to save you. And the things that you do are not going to save you. The way you feel concerning something is not going to be sufficient. When the powers of evil come, when fallen angels come, demon powers seize upon your mind and upon your spirit. When you feel a spirit of jealousy come over you, you won't be able to resist it. When you feel a spirit of murder come over you, you won't be able to resist it. When you feel that spirit of haughtiness come over you, that spirit of temper, that spirit of lust, the spirit of covetousness and the things of this world, you won't be able to resist it. It'll become interwoven with your being, and you'll feel it within your very flesh that you just got to do it because it's just in your taste buds to do that evil thing. It's interwoven even in your very human senses because you didn't fortify the stronghold with the wonderful Spirit of God. You didn't get filled with God's Spirit. You didn't have the wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost. You didn't have that wonderful, great, wonderful activation of God inside of your being that seals you so that nothing can penetrate. You know, to keep water out of wood, to keep it from rotting it out, you have to use a sealer. You take the seal and the sealer penetrates the wood. And then when the water comes, it can't get in because the wood is sealed. And the interior part of the wood is preserved. God has been a sealer that's been put upon it. And then after you get your sealer on it, you know, you can just buffet it a little bit. And once you buffet it, it just makes it look a little rough looking. Just wipe it off, and then you can glorify it by putting the varnish or that real shiny coat on there. And then it just looks so beautiful. So then God works the same way with you and I. Build your house upon the rock. That is, have faith in the Word of God, because the only rock there is the Word. In that the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? And who is God but the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And God is a rock. And upon this rock, he said, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So then for me to build upon the rock, I've got to believe in the Word of God. I've got to hear the Word of God. Got to have a preacher so he can preach it to me. The Bible said, how can they hear lest they have a preacher? And how can the preacher preach lest he be one that God has sent to preach the Word? He can't preach unless God sent him to preach. You can't hear unless you have the Word, and the preacher can't preach. That is, the man can't preach it unless he's God's minister that is sent to minister the Word. And so then how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach unless God has sent him to preach? Somebody could say, anybody could preach, Brother Pike. Anybody could preach. But that's not right. Anybody could quote the scripture. Anybody could read the Bible. Well, that's true. Anybody could get up here and they could read the Bible. And they could quote the scripture. And they could do all kinds of things. But that still doesn't mean that he is a preacher. He has to be sent of God to be a preacher. You might go to seminary. You might go wherever you want to. You might go on a fast. You might decide that you're a prophet. You might decide that you've got gifts, but that still doesn't make it right. God said, I send a preacher, and the preacher comes, and because he's a preacher, he can tell you my program, and you can believe it. Did you know I could get up here and I could stand here for the rest of the night and I could give you a speech like Mr. Reagan. I could give you a speech like some great king in some great country, but that would not make me the president. That would not make me the president. I might have more money than Mr. Reagan's, but that still wouldn't make me the president because I wasn't elected the president in that way. So, see, it doesn't matter if you can get a million people to follow you. If you can get all kind of money coming in and set up your program, and you can have all kind of things in the earth, that still doesn't mean that you are a preacher. You may feel real good. You may get inspired of the Spirit. You may be able to stir the people. But that don't mean you're a preacher. You might even be able to pray with the people and somebody gets healed, but that don't mean that you're a preacher. Nor does that mean that they can hear because you're not a preacher. But if God sent you to preach, you may not have any education. You might not know anything about the world, and you might not have any money. But see, like the president, God elected you in grace as to the calling and office of being a preacher. So then the preacher comes and he preaches the word of God, and you hear the word of God. And then when you hear the word of God, you believe the word of God. The Bible says God sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life and seals you with the greatness of God, and that holy atmosphere falls around you and your spirit becomes sealed. And God's Spirit interweaves itself with your spirit, and your spirit and God's Spirit become one spirit. And that seal comes in, and your spirit is penetrated by God's Spirit, and it's sealed in, and after that, when the mildew comes, it can't hurt you. When the evil spirit of infiltration brings the mildew, brings the rust, brings the corruption, brings the rot, it can't penetrate you because you are sealed by the interwoven presence of a great, lovely Holy Ghost. And then God allows you over a period of time. He allows the devils to buffet you. Paul said, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, even a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He said, I asked God to move it, but he said, no, Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient. That is, you're sealed in. You don't have to worry. It's not going to hurt you with God. And Paul waxed real bold, and Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that nothing can separate me from the love of God. This thing has buffeted me. This thing has harassed my mind. This thing has aggravated me. But I'm so convinced of God's love in Christ that nothing can separate me from the love of God. So I'm all right, folks. Everything's going to be all right with me. I've got problems. I'm grieved. I'm worried. I'm troubled. He said, but nothing is going to stop me from serving God. And nothing can take me away from the love of God. So the love that is so great that nothing can separate me from that love of God which he manifested in the sufferings of his son Jesus. I'm persuaded that God's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day, Paul said. Poverty can't separate me. And he said, death can't separate me. Powers of evil can't separate me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. So then, when you are sealed with God's Spirit, the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby thou art sealed unto the redeeming of the body, or unto the day of redemption, the terms is used. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. God has sealed your spirit unto that great moment, unto that great time. God has sealed it so that nothing can bother you but a little buffeting, kind of scratch you up, kind of scrape you around. Treating you a little bit rough. It looks kind of bad because you take a piece of sandpaper, you know, and you grind at the door. And it makes it kind of bad. It looks kind of bad. But nevertheless, those demon powers buffeting you, coming against you constantly, doing something to try to tear you down and to cause you problems, working vigorously against you. But all they do is just rough you up a little bit and get you in good shape to where God can glorify you. And once you buffet the thing down and get the thing in real good shape, all of a sudden God begins to send in the glorification. You know, just as a painter would take his brush and come down that board that he sealed real good and sanded real good, and he lays the varnish on it, and once he gets through with it, it just looks so beautiful. It's just so lovely. Then he'll take the wax and he'll rub the wax over it, you know, or as a woman would a piece of furniture, rub the wax over it and polish it to that wonderful, beautiful finish to where the light just finds its way into the wonderful finish, and it just looks so lovely. God does that way, folks. He seals your spirit, providing that you build upon the rock. Let's build upon the rock. The wise men, they dig down deep. It takes a little effort to get down deep. You know, a lot of folks don't dig deep enough. They don't make any special effort to dig deep enough. I got some ditch diggers around here, or some people that can dig a foundation or dig out a hole or whatever. And I mean, they'll just dig. I've seen Brother Fontaine and some of them dig till it looked like they're going to dig themselves out of sight. They'd start up here and I'd come back in an hour or so and it looked like it done got up to here. And finally I'd come back and I'd just about have to start looking for them. It done dug down so deep. See, dig down deep. The Bible said in the wise man, he kept digging. He just dug down deep until he got way down deep, and then he struck a rock. And then when he struck a rock, he said, now this is my foundation. I'll lay my house upon the foundation. I'll get down deep and I'll fasten to this rock. Then when the winds come, it can blow and it can twist and it can pull. But this rock is embedded up under this heavy layer of soil. And I'll throw dirt in on my foundation and this rock will hold me as the winds begin to rock my house. The Bible said, and the winds blew and the rains came and they beat vehemently upon that house, but that house never failed. It shook, it trembled. No doubt as the winds blew, it shook and it trembled. The Bible said that house failed not because it was founded upon a rock. But let me tell you something. This is the house of God. And Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, or if this temple, or if this house be dissolved, I'll have another one eternal in the heavens not made with hands. But this house, this building, Paul said, you are God's building, even lively stones. This building is founded upon a rock. God dug down deep, laid the foundations, and put the house upon a rock. And God said, let no man try to build on any other foundation. Don't let any person try to build a house on any other foundation. He said, because there is no other foundations other than what I've laid. He said, I've laid the foundations, and said, you got to build on these foundations. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. The Bible said, the day shall try his work. Every man, every woman, God is going to try you. God's going to shake you, and God's going to let the powers of evil come against you. And God's going to see if your house will stand the test. Because if your house doesn't stand the test, God knows that it's not the house that he built. For when the floods come, God knows that the house that he built will stand the test. Because he built it at Calvary and he poured out his wrath upon it. As God built the house of the body of Jesus Christ, God let the winds of evil blow upon it. God backed off and the sun became as dark as sackcloth of hair. And God turned Lucifer loose on that house. And he beat upon it with the hammer and he drove nails in the hands of Jesus. He set the thorns upon his head and he shook Jesus. But not one time did that house give. Not one time did that house move. The devil never moved that house one time. God just backed off and he let the winds blow upon it. But they couldn't move that house. Jesus had dug down deep, and the Bible says concerning Jesus that he prayed and he offered up supplication before God with strong crying and prayer, fasting, and he'd weep before God, and he prayed long, and he suffered much to lay a foundation deep to where that house would not be shaken. And today we're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. Today we're anchored with Christ. We're down deep. You know, a good tree, they tell me that the roots, averagely speaking, on some trees grow down as deep as the limbs does the other way. There's one that they call it the silver maple. It doesn't have much root. It'll grow fast, look good, but if the wind ever blows, it'll blow it over on your house if you're not careful. There are trees that get so rooted that it doesn't matter. The wind can roll them, it can twist them, it can bend them over, it can snatch at them. But when the wind passes on, that tree is still rooted. That tree is still strong because it's got its roots down deep in the earth. And so then God wants us to build upon the rock. Build upon the rock. Foundations that I have laid, 12 foundations of the apostolic teachings that says, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God laid a foundation, 12 foundations that are found in that great city over there, making up the one foundation of God. It's found in the great city. The Bible said Abraham sought a city whose foundations and builder is God. I'm seeking a city, Abraham says. I'm looking for a city, and that city has foundations. That foundational city. That city that nobody can't tear down, the one that God built. John saw it descending out of heaven. I've laid the foundations, he said. And since I've laid the foundations, no man can build upon that foundation. Hay, stubble, silver. You can't build on this foundation with ideology. You can't build on this foundation with your gold and your riches and with your education. You can't build on this foundation with your denominational ideas. You can't build on this foundation. He said, if you do, I'll burn it up. I'll melt it down. I'll blow it away. He said, let every man take heed how that he build upon this foundation. For the day is going to try your works. I'm going to try you and find out if you belong here. And so then there is a real godly foundation. And that foundation is the rock, the word of God, Christ Jesus. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. If I hear the word, then I can build upon the word. I put my convictions upon the word. My house, my individual tabernacle is founded upon the word of God. You know, I've been in many battles in my life. I've been in many storms in my life. I've seen the cyclone, spiritually speaking, rage. But God kept my house standing. I've seen all kinds of things happen, but God kept my house standing down through the years. God kept my house standing. And folks, I've been in some more cyclones, I'll tell you. I've been in some things that seems unreal, that if I told you tonight, you couldn't even conceive the thought unless you've been down that trail. I've been in some horrible situations, some hurricanes, as we say. But my house stood because I founded it on the rock. I took many days and many months and many years of searching and digging and searching and digging in the scriptures and in the word of God and into the things of God, constantly looking, asking God to help me there in the scripture, saying, God, give me a real foundation, and God, help me in the real things of God. And God gave them to me, and God gave me the place that I wanted to be, and God showed me the rock. And God founded my house upon that rock. And there he anchored me. He tied me to the rock. And then when the storms came, the house just kept on standing. Kept on standing. Today, the winds still beat vehemently upon it. But God keeps it from even shaking or moving in the sense of giving. So then, to have a conviction, to be able to believe, to be able to think right, to have a conviction, to be able to believe in God's word, to lay the foundation upon the rock. That is, your thoughts, your plans, your ideas, all of your convictions, let it be upon the word of God. Take heed how you hear the word. And take heed in this sense. The Bible said not only take heed as how that you hear, but the Bible teaches that you should listen to these things in a way that you don't misconstrue them and that you don't lose them over a period of time. Take heed how that you hear the word of God. Let the word of God sink down in your heart. For out of your heart comes forth evil thoughts of fornication, idolatry, murder, hatred, jealousy, variance, strife, emulation. All of these things come forth out of your heart, Jesus said. Let God wash you. Let God cleanse you. Let God take it out. And then let God found your house upon the rock. The wise man dig deep. He laid his house upon the rock. He got past the rubbish. A lot of times we have so many ideas, it's nothing more than rubbish. And we don't get past the rubbish. We don't get past those things. It's nothing more than just, as we say, the upper layers of soft stuff or mire that'll give away if we try to build on it. Maybe it doesn't appear to be mire. There is salt. It doesn't appear to be mire, but let a little water come. Let those elements mix with the water. They may seem all right, but let them mix with a little water. And then it's shabby and it's mushy and it's soft and it'll give away depending on how much rain comes, how much water. But you know, it can rain and it can rain and it can rain. But if you've got a good solid rock, when it gets to raining, the rock is just like it was to start with. It's not miry, it's not mushy, it doesn't give away. It doesn't turn loose. The rock is solid. So then as the song said, upon the solid rock I stand, and all of the ground is sinking sand. Building on the rock, as I told my wife today, I said, Betty, don't ever go by your feelings. I said, I've taught you to never go by your feelings. I've taught the children not to go by their feelings. I said, never go by your feelings, because a man that goes by his feelings is up and down. All the time he's up and down. He never has anything from God because he's double-minded. He goes by his feelings and his feelings change all the time. You know, men's feelings change. My feelings change. Your feelings change. Human senses are subject to circumstantial environment. And so then we are a creature of circumstances. And our feelings, they fluctuate with the environment to which we are acquainted. So then if I go by my feelings, one day I feel good. The next day I won't feel good. One day I've got a real drive, and the next day I don't have any drive at all. I don't go by my feelings. Like I said to Sister Betty, I said, if God says in his word I'm healthy, then I'm healthy. I don't care how I feel. It ain't got nothing to do with it. If God says I'm happy, then I don't care if I'm so long-faced that I could be so sad, yet I'm happy because God said I'm happy. So then I'm trusting in the word of God. If God says I'm righteous, then I'm righteous. If God says I'm holy, then I'm holy. My faith is upon God's word. Whatever God's word says, that's what it is. I believe it. I don't care what I see, what I hear. I don't care what I feel. God said it. I believe it. My faith is anchored upon the Word. I believe in the Word of God. So then I believe God's Word. God said He'd supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. It doesn't matter about circumstances or what people say or whatever comes or don't come. It has nothing to do with it. God said it. I believe in the Word. God said it. If God said I'm righteous, then I believe that I'm righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the sacrifice and efforts of the Son of God. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter what their doctrines are. God said it. I believe it because the Word of God is the foundation of my faith. So then my faith is upon God's Word. There is no faith without the Word of God. I build upon the Word of God. I found my faith upon the Word of God. I stand upon the Word of God. And if I don't feel good so far as the natural is concerned, it has nothing to do with it. The Word of God said it. If I am weak so far as my natural being, the Bible said, let him that is weak say that I am strong and be strong in the power of my might. From my weak days, I'm still strong, though it might be a weak day and I might ordinarily cave in. But because of His uniformity of life, because of His strength, I don't cave in because I'm going by what Christ did. I'm going by what Christ said. I'm going by what Christ believed, and that's what's important. Christ believed it. If Christ said it, if Christ laid it down as the foundation, then I believe it. Those apostolic teachings, those 12 foundations, they give me all things that pertain unto life. And so then upon this foundation I build. And I tell my wife, I said, Betty, don't never go by your feelings. It doesn't have anything to do with it. If you believe God's going to bless you today, believe God's going to bless you tomorrow. But you know, we get that feeling, well, I don't know. You know, things don't look good, and I hope God will bless me, but I don't know. I just got that feeling. Well, get rid of that feeling. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I just got that feeling. Well, you need to get rid of that feeling. You need to get that good, godly word feeling. Hallelujah. Somebody said, can you do that? You sure can. Get the good word feeling. Be in the Word of God. Somebody says, how do you do that, Brother Pike? You just take that word where the Bible said, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And say, glory to God. God's going to supply all of my needs. I got that word feeling. Hallelujah. That's a good feeling too, folks. That'll make you happy right there. Don't get that feeling. Say, well, my contractor wouldn't pay me, and I couldn't get my money, and the rain and the mud, and honey, I don't know what we're going to do. Don't get that kind of feeling. You know, that's that contractor feeling. That's that human being feeling, you know. You don't want to do that. No, sir, take the word feeling and say, God said it, I believe it. Every day of my life, I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to have a uniform life. I'm going to have a life where I dig deep. I'm going to lay my foundation on a rock. What is a rock but God? Who is God but the Word? I'm going to have my believing down upon the Word. I'm going to settle on the Word. I'm going to believe the Word. Whatever the Word says, that's what I'm going to believe. The Bible said rejoice forevermore, so I'm going to rejoice forevermore. That's what my believing is. The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled, so I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. That's where my believing is. The Bible said, God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. That's where my faith is. The Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. That's where my faith is. Hallelujah. The Bible said God would make my cup run over. That's where my faith is. God said, I will supply all of your needs. I will make your beds in the time of your sickness. That's where my faith is right there. So then upon God's solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I believe the Word. I believe that what God said is right. I believe that because the Word made me. The Word made my environment. By the Word of God, the ocean was created. By the Word of God, the heavens were created of old. By the Word of God, the stars hang up there. By the Word of God, everything in the world today is by the Word of God because God's Word said it. So I believe God's Word. Whatever God's Word says, that's what I believe. I hear people a lot of times, they're so negative in their talk, and they're talking negative, and everything they say is negative. And I think, God, let me out of here. Let me get away from this. Evil communication, corrupt good manners. Let me get out of here. I don't hear that kind of thing. Somebody says, oh, I'm so sad, I'm so sad, I'm so sad. Well, I know that. I know things happen to your loved ones. I know things happen to your finance. I know that things happen to your mind. I know that things happen to your body. I've been through all of those things and may go through a whole lot more of them before that day. But folks, there's one thing about it, irregardless to what comes or what not. The Bible says, David said, my heart is fixed. And evil tidings shall not trouble me, which fulfills the scripture, let not your heart be troubled. God promised, and I'm standing on God's word. So then if you're going to go by your feelings, you're never going to have anything from God, and you're never going to prosper because somebody's going to program your mind. Did you know, folks, it's so wrong to let your thoughts govern your believing. Did you know that? That is so wrong. You don't need to do that. You don't need to let your thoughts govern your believing. You need to let your believing govern your thoughts. See, if God's word said it, then I believe it. And that's going to make me think right. That's going to make me think right, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If God's word said it, that's the mind of Christ. I take the mind of Christ, what the word says. And I program my mind according to God's word, the mind of Christ. And I believe in the mind of Christ. And I believe in the word of God. And I say, God said it, I believe it. Doesn't make any difference what it is, I believe it. So many times, I've had my back to the wall for tens of thousands of dollars. No way to get it. No way to do anything at all. But I programmed my mind with God's word. And I said, God said it, I believe it. God said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his head. Cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. Cursed is the man that gets it in his mind. He knows what to do, and he tries to figure it out from his intellectual viewpoint. That's the flesh. That's leaning on the flesh. Even if it's your own flesh, your own idea, you're cursed because you're trying to work the thing out mathematically or otherwise in your mind. You're trying to figure it out. The Bible said you're cursed already. Because you're trusting in your mind, and the devil's got your mind, so you're automatically in trouble. So then, when you try to do it with your own strength, you're automatically in trouble. Somebody said, I can do it. Like somebody said not too long ago, I can do it, just watch me. And so I did. And they fell flat on their face. And they found out they couldn't do it, and God had to do it for them. God had to do it for them. You know what? If you'll believe God, everybody else will have to eat out of your basket when they fall. Did you know that? Your enemies will have to eat out of your basket if you believe God, because God's not going to let you go down. Somebody says, oh, but Brother Pike, somebody, you know, they're going to run into it sometimes, and they're going to have problems sometimes, and they're going to fall. Just wait, Brother Pike. No, the Bible says he that doeth these things shall never fall. Yeah, somebody said, just go ahead and believe. God will slap you down. Oh, how ignorant can folks get? Can't you just picture Jesus with his nailed, dripping hand saying, I love you, I love you, I'm going to slap you down because you made an effort. Now, you know that don't fit together now, does it? Paul said, I speak as a fool. You know that don't fit together. The Bible said God does not pervert a man in his cause. God does not resist a man in his cause. God aids a man. God works with a man. But see where our problem is? When we get to reason with ourselves. Reasoning, that is, with ourselves. We get to reasoning with ourselves. You know, and we get to reasoning, and something says, well, you know, and first as you know, we're out here in the wilderness, we're wandering around and around, the devil's done got our thinking, and we say, well, you know, and here we go, round and around like a dog chasing his tail. Round and around, we spend all day long, spend all week long, spend all month long, can it spend a whole year, can spend 10 years. The old death march of just walking in a circle, you know. And we never get anything done because we keep on reasoning. Because that voice keeps on talking. There's a continual warfare. And it just keeps on talking. He never lets up. And he keeps telling you your deficiencies. And it tells you why you can't do it. I won't do that to the world out there. The devil will say, come on, get you a little drink of booze. Spin your wheels. We can do it. We can do it. Man, we can build an empire. You know, but when he comes to a son of God, he'll say, you can't do it. You don't have the talent. You are uneducated. You're underprivileged. You don't have the ability to do it. You don't have the money to do it. Nobody's interested in you. There's no way you can do it. You know, and you just go down, down, down. And you sit around in an old melancholy condition, you know, and say, I'm about to go all to pieces, you know. I think I'm going insane. I think my nerves are breaking. I believe I got cancer. I know I've got heart problem because I can hear it tick. You know, in the wrong way that is. So then, people get fearful. They get afraid. They get frustrated. They get beside themselves. But folks, you don't have to do that. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Don't be in a frenzy all the time. Don't be tore up all the time. Say, the Bible says, God said I can do all things, but he would strengthen me. I'm going to do it. God said I can do it. I'm going to do it. So I said, don't you tell nobody now. The devil said, don't you say that. You won't be able to save face now. You said it. See, and then when it don't happen, somebody said, ha, ha. Said, well, I'll just try it anyhow. I'll try it anyhow. If you want to keep it a secret, try it anyhow. You don't have to tell nobody. As long as you tell God, you're going to do it. But the thing is, if you're willing to confess it and stay in there with it, God will bring it to pass. You know, God will bring it to pass. Like a minister said one time, he was praying for the sick, and I remember he made this statement. He said, you know, said some of you people say, yeah, what if it don't happen? What if it don't happen? And he reared back and threw out his chest and screamed and roared like a lion and said, what if it does happen? You know, and it happened. So then that's what God wants us to do. God wants you to rear back, throw out your spiritual chest, open up your mouth and bellow like a lion and roar and see the devil tremble and let him just get out of the way and start walking. And the Bible said, wherever you set your feet, I'll give it to you. Just keep on walking. Don't go over there and shake and tremble and say, oh my God, there's giants, there's giants. We saw giants. Folks, this is a wonderful way. But I'll tell you what, there's so much in the way, we'll never be able to do no good. Don't do that. God got upset about that. And the Bible said, because of their evil heart of unbelief, he swore in the time of his anger and his wrath that they would never enter into Canaan. But see, just go forth in God and say, folks, I'll tell you one thing. There's some giants over there, but to me, they look like grasshoppers when I think about Jesus. You know, they said there's giants over there and we're nothing but grasshoppers. And God didn't like that because David took it the other way around. He grabbed his little sling and he thought that man looked like a grasshopper. And he felt like a giant. And that's what we're supposed to do. See, we're the majority. We're supposed to overcome. Fear not, little flock. But we've got God. We've got God. That's what makes the difference. We got God. Doesn't make any difference if we're the little flock. We've got God. Hallelujah. When John saw that angel, the Bible said he had one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. His hand raised to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever. So then that's what we can do. See, we can get excited over it and realize that God is, he's just the ever expanding great one. He's the big one. See, and all of them look like grasshoppers. Just think what some of them fellows would have looked like standing beside that angel. Them folks got afraid and thought, my, them great big folks. You know, that's the way it is in the world. They're powerful, they're great, they're mighty, they're money men. They've got great authority. They wear the badges. They're the senators, they're the leaders, they're the rulers. Many of them that are oppressing the church are those that are standing out there. But folks, to me, they look like a bunch of grasshoppers. Amen, I mean it. They look like a bunch of grasshoppers to me. The Bible said, God sat upon the circle of the earth and beheld the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. I must be sitting up there with him because they look like grasshoppers to me. So then, looking through the eyes of God, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I will do it by his grace. I will do it. David had that charge from God. David had that outlook. David said, God said it. I believe it. Just show me where it said. Show me where it said. So then Jesus said, thou hypocrite. He said, you hold the tradition of mankind. You built your house on the sand. Folks, let me tell you this again tonight in closing. Let me tell you this. Just think. If you let your believing rest upon your feelings, you're automatically defeated. That ends it. There's no need of you making an effort. It's all over. It's all over. Because like I said, you may feel good today and have plenty of drive, but tomorrow you're not going to feel any drive at all. A little condemnation hits you and that's it. Did you know? I cannot claim God's best. I cannot claim God's way. I cannot claim God's word unless I give him my best effort. If I do the very best that I can and I give him my best effort, and I do the very best that I know how, though I may stumble, though I may stagger, but if I do the very best that I know how to do, I am entitled to his promises. I have a right to call upon Jesus Christ and to go boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need. I have a right to his words of security and promise. I have a right to that word of inheritance. I have a right to believe God's word and accept it as my foundation and my inheritance. But I'm warning you, you take my word for it, you do whatever you will. Everybody has to do, you know, according to whatever they feel. But if you lean upon the medical aids of this world, and you lean upon the financial aids of this world, and you lean upon the intellectual aids of this world, you're going to be cursed. You're going to be cursed, folks. Well, I don't believe it. Well, nevertheless, it'll happen. You're going to be cursed. Somebody says, well, the doctors can keep me alive and I won't die. I'll tell you one thing. Even if they kept you alive, even if that happened, which they can't. The Bible said in that day there won't be no healing medicines. But even if they did, you'd still die and go to hell for going down to Egypt for your help and leaning upon the arm of flesh. They can't keep you alive. When death calls for you and God gets ready with all of their medicines, all of their operations and all the things they can do, they don't keep people alive. People still die. So I said, well, I know somebody they kept alive. How long did they keep them alive? If you'll think back a few years back, you'll find all of them people that it looked like that they kept alive. They had their funeral. Their funeral finally came and they buried them. I said, well, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm trying to say this. With a little good understanding and a little reasoning and serving God and believing in God and trusting in God, you can have faith. And sometimes the doctors can age you a little bit because God does give healing medicines. That is, God does give healing medicines, and medicines can heal when you got your faith in God. Just like he told the prophets that put the figs on the boils and it healed. It healed. So then God does have remedies, and there's a bomb in Gilead, and God can help you as long as you trust in God and you use those things for aid. But folks, when you get to where you're not going to serve God and you're not going to trust in God and you're not going to believe in God, it's impossible to please God. And you find yourself going down to Egypt and you get scared to death if you can't run down to Egypt every time you get a nervous tremor. Now you're in bad shape. Somebody's like, I'm afraid I'll die. So what? After all, when you die, that's the end of it. You can't do nothing else. It's all over then. Well, I get so nervous and tore up about it. But I don't want to die. Well, I got some news for you. You're going to die anyway. Everybody does. Unless you can get in the translation, you're going to die, so there ain't no need to get so nervous about it. I said, but it just tears me up to think I'm going to die. I'm sure it does. It probably does everybody else. That's why Jesus died himself. to try to help you. But the Bible still said, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. See, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you know, I've just got a fear. The Bible said all of our lives we're subject to the bondage of fear because of the fear of death, or subject to those things because we knew we was going to die. But we're not now. We're not planning to die. We're not people that die. We're not worried about dying. You might go to sleep. You might say, yeah, but I don't see the difference. Well, that's because you're blind. Blind man, he don't see the difference. When he comes across the road, he don't know which way to go. He don't see the difference because he's blind. You're blind, you don't see the difference. But the thing is, if you're going to die anyway, why get so tore up about it? Somebody says, yeah, but I want to live my years out. Well, what difference does it make? One day, 10 days, 2 days, 2 years, 5 years? What difference? When you go to die, you're going to feel the same about it. If you live to be 90 years old, when you go to die, you're going to feel just the same about giving up your breath of life as you do right now. There ain't going to be no difference. Somebody said, well, if you get older now, there ain't no difference. The only difference is your thinking, that's all. Death is death at 90. Death is death at 30. Death is death at 15 years old. Death is still death anytime you meet it. And you know, good thoughts like this, not to try to give you a consolation so you feel better when you die, but I'm just talking to you for just a minute, you know. When you go to die, it's like this. You got to remember that everybody else done it before you. So wherever you're going, there's a whole lot of folks that's already went over there. When you go to cross over that bridge, just think, well, my granddaddy did it, my grandmother did it, my mother did it, my daddy did it, my brothers did it, my sisters, whoever's gone on. And if they didn't do it before you, they're going to catch up with you, so they're going to do it. Just remember that somebody's grandmother did, somebody's daddy did, somebody's brother did, somebody's sister did, and hundreds and hundreds and all of humanity just dies out. So you're just doing it, going the way of all the earth. That's the way the writer said it, or the man said it, you know. He said, I just go all the way of all the earth. Just where the seed goes, into the ground so it can reproduce. So all of them did it. You're just doing the same thing all of them doing. Well, so I said, well, I don't know. That's too much consolation. Well, maybe not. There is a better way. And I suggest that we do it the way that Enoch did it. That's a better way. But nevertheless, it is a true fact that all of them do die. And Adam, they all die. And the reason is because of the lack of faith. Somebody said, well, you can't prove that. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. That settles it right there. By faith. That's why I say, folks, put your faith upon the Word of God. There is no believing that is considered faith except that which comes by the Word of God. So believe in the Word of God. Have your consolation. Have your needs met. Be healthy. Let God meet your needs. Let God help you. You know. And it'll work out. All of it will work out. I want you to stand with me. All of it will work out, folks. If you let God help you, it'll work out. But you got to believe. You got to believe. You know, it's kind of like this. Take a man with a steady income. A lot of times he don't have as much income at one time is another fellow that might have a sporadic income. That is some fellow contracting to some fellow that's got an income. There's a possibility that he might make $500 this week, or he might make $1,500 this week. The other man that's working on the job, he might not make but just $200 or $300 this week. And the man that's getting his money sporadic, he just says, I just can't live on, I can't go to work for a man on the salary, I just can't do it. Too much overhead, too much expense, there just ain't no way, I just got to make that money. And he goes on and he stays head over heels in debt, and he can't pay his bills and he can't get by. And yet, consequently, the man that's just got the regular income, he gets by. He pays his debts, he has a reputation, he gets him a little home and whatever. Well, when we analyze it, this is a true fact. You can't just switch over when you've been going the other way. You're in a mess. But as long as your income is sporadic, you're going to stay in a mess anyway. But the thing is, if you would give it a little time, if you wanted to switch over, and then you got used to regular income of a smaller amount, that regularity, after a while, that regularity would minimize that great deficit. It would bring things into view. After a while, you just keep pecking on a tree and pecking on a tree, and the tree will fall. Just keep hacking away at it. See, and after a while, this side goes up and the other side goes down. The liabilities begin to fall, the assets begin to increase. Because you're regular, and you've got that income regular. It might not be as much as the other fellow gets every once in a while. But the man that's got the irregular income, he might make $1,500 this week and you didn't make but $300. But it might be 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks that he don't hardly get anything at all. You know, and by the time he does get it, he's done put his creditors off so much till he couldn't borrow a dollar if he wanted to. They done got afraid of him. Whereas the man with the regular income, he's established a reputation. They know they can get a little bit along. They know he's on one steady job, and they know he's got roots. He's going to be around. See, folks, that's what makes the difference. We want to be too big. We want to be too great. We got to be that great man. We got to be that big fella. We can't take time just to go along and drop the seeds one at a time till we get a field planted. You know, we got to be that big man. We got to live up here with the millionaires. We got to be great. We got to have a lot of income. Foolishness. We don't want to pay the price. We don't want to take our time. We want to be 30 years old and worth $10 million. Foolishness, folks, is a consequence of our evil, gullible way of life. A lot of times we don't ever even get the first million. Whereas if we'd work with God and we just take our time and realize that it takes a little time for a tree to grow and that it doesn't ordinarily put out fruit the first year. But if you'll keep on watering and working and patiently waiting, the Bible said God waits patiently, long and patiently for the fruit of the earth. See, if you just keep on waiting, pray a prayer, fast a little, give a little, study a little, just sit tight, hold on. After a while, you begin to break through the clods. And after a while, you begin to put out a little sprig. And after a while, you begin to put out a few leaves. And after a while, you grow bigger. The wind blows and you just stretch a little bit. Another little sail pops out, you know, and you stretch a little more. And water comes down, keeps it soft and tender to where you can stretch. The sunshine keeps pulling to inspire it upwardly to pull it out of there. And after a while, you're a great big tree. The Bible says the trees of God are full of sap. And you're full of the richness of life. And your branches are just loaded down. Sometimes it's a burden, you know. To carry a burden means to bear fruit. The burden bearer. Sometimes your branches are almost dragging the ground. You know, and it's such a load, but my, look at the lovely fruit and look at the sparkle in the children's eyes. Look at the joy and jubilance of the wonderfulness of that fruit, from apple pie to whatever, you know. All because you was willing to bear the burden and be patient. So then, I said that to say this. You know, we want to grow up too fast. We want to do what we want to do. Being great is being simple. The greatest people in the world are simple people. Jesus said, let me show you what greatness is. Some of those fellows said, we want to be chief. He said, I'll show you the way to greatness. He said, let's wash some folks' feet. Now there was a great man. A man that could step down from the throne of God and wash somebody's feet. That was a great man. Leave his riches. Mind you, can you imagine what the angels thought when he did that? Just think now, Gabriel, Michael, them dignitaries of heaven. Could you imagine what it would be like if President Reagan come down here and washed my feet tonight? What the senators would do as they looked at him? While those angels must have stood there utterly astounded. Michael and Gabriel must have looked down and thought, oh God, he's washing a man's feet. Well, that's just unheard of. But nevertheless, the Son of God, the King of glory, the King of kings, the lovely one, just knelt down, just commonly like, washed his feet, and old Peter fussing all the time. Peter said, nay, Lord. Jesus said, Peter, you better let me do this. If you don't, you're not going to be clean. Oh, Peter said, you better baptize me. She said, take my head, my feet, everything. So that's the only thing that'll settle it. Peter really preached baptizing, didn't he? So then, Jesus said one time, you're clean, and yet not all of you are clean, because all of you haven't been washed. But the washing of the water of the Word, Jesus, washing the soul, the foot, the old practice of that back there in the olden times. Could you just see that? There come Jesus across the desert, the angels. And Abraham said, bring them water, we'll wash their feet. We'll cool that blistering soul. And the Lord is left to say, aha, someday I'll repay that, Abraham. I'll wash the feet of the seed of Abraham. Someday I'll wash the feet of the seed of Abraham to let you know my love. So God, who is no respect of person, washed Peter's feet. How much more should you feel clean through the washing of the water of the Word? How much more should you claim His best and believe in the Lord God of heaven? Let's sing a little chorus together. We sang that song, Into My Heart. I sing that a lot of times because that's the reality of serving God, is Jesus coming into your heart. That's what I want. I want God in my heart. I don't want God in my head. You can't get God in your head. I want God in my heart. You know, we have to associate all of our thinking, we have to associate it with our head. And that's all right if you want to do that. If that's a scientific definition, that's your business. You know if you feel that way about it. Folks, your mind is not in your head. Your mind is in your heart. Your brain's nothing but that instrument upon which the potentiality is revealed. You know, there's electrons in the air. There's that electrical flow. There's that great potentiality that is unharnessed, undeveloped so far as man is concerned, and yet it's so very developed in the sense of its origin and its state of being, as we would say. Break down the little molecules and they just function so beautifully, like the snowflake. But anyway, there's that great big mass of potentiality, that great wonderfulness that we call God. And He said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. He allows us to harness His great power. We take a hold of Him just by believing in the mercies, the sure mercies of David, by believing in the wonderful promises and the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is to say, the beautiful promises that's given to us by means of the work of Jesus, that's available to us, the great potentiality of life, all things that pertain unto life. See, and there's that great, wonderful mass of potentiality. And He's just out there. And all we've got to do is just reach and get it. I went to a place the other day and I never saw such a variety of things in my life. It was like a junkyard, but that man had just about everything. Big and little and all kind of things. All kind of things everywhere. Just almost make you weary just walk around looking at it. I asked him about something. Had some stainless steel out there. I asked him about it. And I said, how in the world do you give a price on this stuff? Or that was the essence. He said, a price? I said, I just pull it out of the air like that, he says. I thought, well, I guess that's the way to do it, you know, if that's the way you do it. And I thought, with all you've got around you, I don't see how you could do it any other way. You know, so when he made a price, he just, you know, whatever come up, come out, as we say. But what it was, he had such great potentiality. It didn't bother him. You know, he could have loaded a dozen trucks down for me and I never missed it. So he said, you know, whatever, that's it, you can have it. And that's the way it is with God. As Brother Branham said one time, a little fish out in the middle of the ocean, afraid to take a drink, afraid he's going to drink all the water up. Here we are out in the middle of the mass of potentiality. God saying, you say it, you believe it, you ask it, it's yours. Can't exhaust the supply. That makes me feel good, folks. I kind of like that extra anyway, you know. A lot of folks, they want to fill the freezer up. They can't eat but a little bit of steak at one time, but if they got 15 more, they just feel better. Isn't that terrible? So you believe God? Oh, yes, I believe God. I got 15 steaks in there. Now, if you give 14 of them to the poor, I could see that you'd believe God. But anyway, all I'm saying is that God is that great, wonderful blessing. He's there. He's our source. He's our hope. He's our help, a present help in the time of need. And all God wants you to do is just take hold of it. Just believe Him, that's all. Just do the best you can. Be sure that it is the best you can. Make your best effort for God. Don't try to cut corners. Don't try to manipulate. Don't try to do wrong. Don't be given to change. Just be steadfast. Right in there with what the Word of God says, regardless of how you feel. If you got a bad morning, if things go wrong, pay no attention to it. If bodily afflictions arise, pay no attention to it. Say, God said it, I believe it. Somebody said, but what if you die? Well, is disbelieving God's Word going to keep you from dying? Somebody said, well, I can go to the doctor. Well, couldn't you go to the doctor and still believe in God? Most people that go to the doctor as a routine don't believe in God, or they wouldn't go to the doctor with a routine. The fact that they got a routine proves they don't believe God. Their faith is gone. See, so believe God. Believe God. Believe in God. See, if you have bodily afflictions, don't let that move you. Say, the Word of God said it. I'm going to believe God anyway. If I have grunts and I have groans, if I die, I'll do like the Hebrew children. I'll die trusting God. He said, we're going to throw you in the furnace. It don't make any difference. The God that we serve is able to deliver us. An old king, if he doesn't deliver us, it ain't going to change our mind. We're going to believe him right down to the end. But consequently, faith always rewards. There was no way that he could fail them because they believed God. So then believe God. Believe God. If you've got anything to trust in your mind, in your thoughts, you're not believing God. You're not believing God. So, well, I've got to have my medicine. I have had services where people just throw away bukus of medicine because God healed them. And they said, God has healed me. He said, it's been night after night since prayer and God's healed me. I know Joseph was telling me today, since we prayed for his little girl, said, Brother Pike, I hadn't seen any change in her before, but I'm seeing a change in her. Got word the other day that a dreadful disease having struck Charles's little, his daughter's little one. The doctors gave him up for death. There's no hope. But I went to God and prayed earnestly. I said, Lord, the girl's dad's gone. I said, do something about it. Please do something about it. And whether true or false, I got a report the other day. They said that the little one pulled through is going to be all right. You know what? If we believe God, if we pray, if we believe God. So I said, well, it won't work for me. You never have given it a chance. Somebody said, well, I tried it for a whole week and it didn't work. Is that faith? People walked in faith for years and trusted God to bring it to pass. And I said, my land, you know, if I got to believe for years, what's the need of messing with it? Well, it can make you live eternally. It can give you eternal health, happiness, riches. Even if you died in this life and never did what you want, at least you'd have a good report of making an effort toward God. And folks, you can't do that. When you really believe, it'll happen. It's just that you didn't believe. You didn't really believe. You didn't get down to business. And somebody said, well, you don't think I believed at all? Well, there are some people that believe, but the strength of their believing is not enough. You don't pray enough, seek God enough, you don't talk to God enough to have any strength. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. He didn't waver. He was fully persuaded, not partially persuaded. He was fully persuaded that what the Word of God said, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So then be fully persuaded in your heart. Don't be partially persuaded. Don't go by your feelings. Somebody said, oh, you just had a thought. You done doubted now. And ain't got nothing to do with it. The Word of God said it every time. Every time them thoughts come to me, every time I have those kind of whatever, you know, the harassment of mind, it ain't got nothing to do with it. It didn't change the Word of God. It's still the same. Can my unbelief make God's word or his faith of none effect? I believe it anyway. Just go right on past that. And brethren, after a while, something will take place. I guarantee it'll take place. And I'll tell you what, if you truthfully do it and it don't take place, you come and just look right straight at me and say, Brother Pike, you lied to me. You lied to me. See, I say that because there won't ever be nobody to do that. Can't do it. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Say one more time. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today. And come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Okay, let's bow our heads together now. Folks, what are your plans? Do you have any plans at all for Christ? You have any plans for Jesus? Are you taking the words that I'm speaking to you day after day, applying them to your heart? Are you allowing your heart to be a holy transmission, to transmit the glory of God to every genetic of your body? You know, people of God, this is truly said, perhaps I've said it many multiplied times, and no doubt other ministers and different people have said it. But it's a renowned fact that people of God don't know who they are. And they don't know what they have. And they don't know the joys and abundance of glory and riches that God has in store for them that love Him. They don't know. I has never seen it. With all the research of science, I has never seen it. The mind has never conceived it. Ear hath never heard it. The Bible said, neither has it entered into the heart of mankind at any time the things that God has in store for His children. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm holding on. I believe it. And one of these days, I'm going to get over there and He's going to give it to me. No, that isn't the way it works. He's got it in His storehouse for you and He wants to give it to you right now. Somebody said, well, I know after I die and resurrect, what's that got to do with it? I say so often, what's that got to do with it? Why do you have to go down the dirt and then get out on the other side, as we say? Somebody said, well, down in the dirt, then I get up on the other side. No, not necessarily. Somebody said, yeah, when you die, Brother Pike, then you leave behind this life and you resurrect, you get on the other side, you come up in that other world. Well, I don't know about that. Dorcas didn't do that. Lazarus didn't do that. They came up in the same world that they went out in. See, that's no proof of nothing. That doesn't prove anything. Translation is not like that. God's not like that. Eternal life's not like that. What's that got to do with it? Going down in a hole and getting back out. What's that got to do with it? Jesus died and conquered death, translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God within your spirit, beloved friend. And you're just tabernacling in this little house of clay. If it was dissolved, that'd be another one. That celestial body. See, so why not enjoy it now? Why wait? If you got $1 million in the bank, why half starve to death waiting for a certain day? Why not enjoy it now? You're already celestial. You're already God's people. You're already translated to the kingdom. You're already in heaven with God. You're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have already received. Rejoice forevermore, you that dwell in heaven. Why not enjoy yourself? Why not use some of the great, wonderful potentialities of God? Why not just go on and say, my dear God, what am I waiting for? After all, it's mine now. It's mine, folks, right now. I'm going to enjoy my health right now. I'm going to enjoy my abundance of living and rich growth in God right now. Don't be miserable and keep waiting and say, oh, I don't know why I'll make it or not. Woe is me, woe is me. Don't do that, folks. Don't testify of the giants through unbelief and live in a life of defeat. Be cast down and be a hindrance to others. Have God to get upset with you because you discourage their hearts. Be a master in God. Be strong in God. Be strong in faith. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God. God said, Abraham, I give it to you. Abraham, just as if to say, glory to God, it's mine. I don't care what nobody says. Sir, I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care. Let them laugh. I don't care. God said it. I believe it. It's mine. And he just had a jubilee of a time, going around rejoicing because he believed it. Somebody said, well, I'll just tell myself it's mine and I'll have a jubilee. No, you won't. You've got to do more than tell yourself. You've got to believe it. You've got to convince yourself that God said that. And because God said that, that's a created thing. It can't fail. And then you believe it with all of your heart. Say, but my disappointment, Brother Pike, is I make such an effort and then I see it didn't happen. No, that's not the way it works at all. Deferred hope sickeneth the heart. But you don't have to have deferred hope. You just believe it, settle down in it, relax in it, rest in it. You don't have to be nobody special. Just decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass, folks. Ask it, God will give it to you. Ask what you will. Say, it's mine and my mistake. My mistake has been founding my believing on that up and down, in and out way of life. Frustrations and feelings and anxiety of human senses. And the double-mindedness got in because of that. But I'm just going to take one avenue of thought, and that is God said it, I believe it, so there ain't going to be no up and down. Ain't going to be no double-mindedness. It's just going to be one way, that's all. We sing that song, one, 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 there's only one way to God. So then while you've got your eyes closed and you've got your heads bowed, I'm going to ask Brother Carl Notemeyers to come up if he will. And as Carl comes to pray with you, you know, Carl's got pressures, folks. Carl's got problems. But he's determined to believe what God said and what I encouraged his faith in. And he's going around rejoicing in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. When somebody says something to him, he said, God said it. God's going to work it out for me. And I tell you what, if God don't work it out to Carl's betterment, I hope you come and call me a false teacher. I hope you got the initiative to do it. I ain't worried about it because you'll never get around to it in that God's going to do it. There won't be no such days as you have an opportunity to do it. But I challenge your faith anyway and your concern. The man believes God. Just let him continue to go the way he's going, and I believe he's going to continue because he is showing it every day. And if he does, then he'll be a beautiful life. God will work it out. One person was interfering with his home. Been doing it for months. A woman. Interfered, causing problems. And I prayed and he prayed. And God caused that woman to get married almost overnight. Just pulled her right out. God will do it, folks.